Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. The personal property tax on businesses that some say is a major hindrance to attracting business to Michigan is expected to move ahead at the Capitol. But the question remains, just how much revenue will we be losing? And can there be any real revenue replacement for municipalities that rely on it as a big chunk of their budget? The Senate Fiscal Agency recently analyzing the numbers, and David Zinn, chief economist for the Senate Fiscal Agency, joins me now. David, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Thank you very much.
Now, I know the CFA took a look at just how much in annual losses local governments and schools will be facing as the PPT is phased out. What kind of numbers did you come up with?
Well, the phase-out that's in the bills kind of takes place in three stages. Initially, there's a small phase-out for property that's valued at less than $40,000 for a single owner in a taxing jurisdiction. We think that will reduce revenue by about $80 million a year. Starting in 2016, that exemption expands to include both some used property and some new property, and it'll jump up to about $450 million a year, and that will gradually grow until you get to calendar year 2022, when it'll be a little over $630 million.
That is quite a lot of money. You know, the Snyder administration plans to pay for most of this PPT elimination plan by increasing revenue from tax credits that are expiring. Is that a revenue equivalent, or is it likely to fall far short?
It's a little hard to tell how far it will fall short. The tax credits that are expressed as an intent to fund the replacement revenue are credits against the Michigan business tax, which is a higher level tax. It includes a tax on both corporate and non-corporate businesses. It includes an income tax that essentially is a 6% income tax, but it also includes a gross receipts tax. And it's unclear how the relationship between the credits under the Michigan business tax will relate to the revenue that we would get once they've expired, because those taxpayers will shift from paying the Michigan business tax, this higher tax, and getting a credit against it, to then paying the corporate income tax if they're a corporation, or no business tax if they're not a corporation, when those credits expire.
Is it becoming at all clear right now if we're going to see annual revenue down because of the shift in our business tax?
Yeah, there's a pretty substantial reduction in business tax revenue to the state from switching from the Michigan business tax to the corporate income tax, yes.
So essentially, to really start seeing any kind of revenue that could replace some of this PPT, the idea, I guess, is that we need to definitely bring in more business. The current business community in the state is not sufficient to help that way.
Like I said, it's unclear. We have estimates of what the credits cost us under the MBT. What we don't have is estimates of what those taxpayers will be paying us under the corporate income tax, if they're paying us anything at all, when we get to that point in time. Those credits start expiring in about 2016. So we'll have a better understanding of what's going on at that time.
The Snyder administration is arguing that revenue in general, including the PPT, it's not guaranteed. Businesses can always move out of the state, and the key is to make a business climate that is just so attractive that businesses can't help but come to the state, and that is why we need to get rid of the PPT right away. Does that kind of an approach make economic sense to you?
The personal property tax definitely is a tax on capital, as is the corporate income tax. So from the viewpoint of your productive capacity is usually related to how much you invest, particularly in new plant and equipment, there is an element to which you want to reduce your tax rates on capital. So the economic argument for reducing tax rates on capital is relatively strong. In terms of local units and the income that they receive from the personal property tax, in theory, yes, you could argue that it's not stable and businesses could move out, shut down, go out of business, Similarly, businesses could come into the states and change things. But historically, going back quite a few number of years, the amount of the taxable value of personal property in the state has been relatively flat. It doesn't change around as much year to year as the property taxes associated with real property have.
I'm talking to David Zinn, a chief economist for the Senate Fiscal Agency. But, David, the actual elimination of the PBT, it is going to hit. I know the state is losing some money, but the local cities, townships, they're the ones that are taking the brunt of the hit here, right?
Yes, local units, particularly cities, counties, townships, they represent the majority of the revenue loss.
I wonder, as an economist, does any kind of revenue replacement for this kind of a tax make particular sense to you? The state lawmakers I've had on who are looking at this issue, they have not given me a very clear answer as to what they think can really replace the PBT.
Well, the legislation isn't very clear about where or how the replacement will come. The intent is to fund it from the business tax credits. It relies on an appropriation from the legislature, which would essentially take it out of general fund revenue, and the bill doesn't specify any distribution formula. As to what would be the best distribution formula or the best solution to come up with replacement revenues, that's a little bit unclear. We've tried a variety of approaches in the past, everything from straight appropriation grants like we do for Renaissance Zone reimbursements or fire protection grants. We've had statutory provisions like we used to have for local intangibles taxes, or when we eliminated the property tax on business inventories in 1976, we also included a portion of that into the revenue sharing formula. So we've tried different flavors of it, and you know, depending on what local unit you talk to or what legislator you talk to, you probably would get different opinions about the success of those various measures.
When we look at the potential of bringing in less revenue from businesses with this change in our tax system, and certainly if we do then proceed with the removal of the PPT, how would that impact the larger budget? How much of the budget does it really make up?
On the state side, it's not a huge portion. I mean, it does exceed $100 million, and there's both a hit on the income side in that it reduces revenue the state gets, but there's also a hit on the expenditure side because when we guarantee per pupil funding for students, when local units lose revenue, we have to make it up to them. The fiscal note that we have is, you know, the combination of all of that on the revenue side is a little over $600 million. You've got a general fund budget that's in the range of $8 billion. You know, it's a meaningful impact.
I see, but certainly not nearly as devastating, really, as it will be for local governments.
Well, it varies by local government. Some local governments have very little reliance. The fiscal note notes that about 1,300 local units, the revenue represents less than 2% of the money that they get. So you've got a lot of local units that are not heavily reliant on personal property taxes. We did a report last September that looked at reliance on personal property taxes by local unit, and there are some, for instance, the city of River Rouge gets somewhere along the lines of about 60% of their tax revenue from personal property taxes. So there you have a local unit that is very, very reliant.
In the fiscal outlook you see for the state, do you see it now as being quite stable?
We've certainly turned the corner in terms of the job losses we experienced over the last decade. A lot of that's being driven by improvements in auto sales because things got so bad during the 2008 recession. So manufacturing right now is kind of driving things. It's a little unclear to see what things will be like in the future. We think things have stabilized, but nobody has a real strong forecast for either the U.S. or the Michigan economy in the next few years because the country is still kind of digging out from high levels of unemployment and problems with financial markets because of the recession.
One last thing. Do you have an opinion on the approach and the changes that have been made to the way we tax and spend?
I'm actually paid not to have much of an opinion on that. We try to forecast what the results will be and leave the normative analysis to the policymakers.
David Zinn, Chief Economist for the Senate Fiscal Agency. David, thanks for coming on the program once again.
Thank you very much.
And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.